Radio Aphrodisia, Saturdays, 4 to 6 p.m. showtime. Tune in.
You're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles. The time now is 1 p.m.
From the icy cold curves of Angeles Crest to the sunny shores of PCH, this is The Car Show. Broadcasting this week and every week here on KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles, for over 50 years. I am your humble host, Mark Vaughn of AutoWeek.com. I am joined this week and every week by the greatest and most patient co-host in the world, a practicing attorney, an attorney specializing in automotive law, by the way, not just anybody. She's not, anyway, our Orange County Bureau Chief, Motor Press Guild member and owner of two Mazdas, Michelle Spencer. Welcome, Michelle.
Hey, Mark. Great to be here again with you.
Thank you.
About everything going on in the world of cars.
I am so happy that you are here. And I am also happy that this guy is here. We are happy, again, a lot of happiness here to welcome back our semi-regular co-host, former sub-editor of Super Street, former executive at Kelley Blue Book, executive analyst at iccars.com. We could go on for about 2 hours reading his curriculum vitae, but we don't have that much time. Welcome, please, Carl the Power Brower.
Yay. Hey, thanks, guys, for having me on. You know, it's always good to feel welcomed by you. I will never get tired of being welcomed on the show with you guys, no matter how many times it happens.
Yes, there was a little technical glitch here. Somebody, and I'm not naming names, hit the wrong button, and we were 46 minutes into the previous recording. So we are now a polished couple of professionals here. We lost our guest. He's off probably having dinner. So he's gone. But we have Carl here. We have Michelle. And for whatever it's worth, you have me here. And I'm not going to touch any buttons for the next 58 minutes. But what we are going to do is start asking you to please make a small charitable donation to KPFK, because this is our spring fund drive. The flowers are blooming. Things are coming up out of the ground. And all we ask is that a little bit of support comes out of your pocket and that you get it to us here at KPFK. Very easy to do. You don't even have to talk to anybody. Just go to kpfk.org. Or if you do want to talk to somebody, call the donation line at 818-985-5735. It takes a lot to keep this station on the air and broadcasting. I don't know if you realize, but KPFK broadcasts at 110,000 watts, sometimes up to 112, I was told by the guy up there on top of Mount Wilson. That takes a lot of power and a lot of money. That's a great number of hair dryers. So you got a 1,000-watt hair dryer, you turn them all on, that's how much it takes. 111 of those blasting away. That ain't cheap. Please call 818-985-5735 and pledge your support. If you do it this hour, we get the credit for the car show. Not that we're self-serving or anything. We're just, it'd be nice. Everybody who has donated in the past, we thank you, and we welcome you back anytime you want to come. And we often run into you guys at events out there, and it's always nice to talk to the car show listeners. And sometimes we even give you T-shirts and things. And in fact, speaking of things, places where we can meet you, there is a really cool one happening tomorrow right here just down the road in Pasadena. It's called Concorso Ferrari for 2025. It's in Old Pasadena on Colorado Boulevard. It is free. There are going to be 100 beautiful Ferraris. There aren't any ugly Ferraris. I even like the 412 and the Mondial. I may be the only guy in the world who likes that. I like the 308 GT4. I like every shape. The Bertone shapes, I like them as much as the Pininfarina shapes. The Scaglietti's. How do you say Scaglietti? Anybody know how to say that? My co-hosts?
Scaglietti.
Scaglietti.
Scaglietti, yes, okay. There are going to be a whole bunch of really cool cars there, and they only closed down Colorado Boulevard twice. The other one is for some minor event called the Rose Parade. They do it for them on New Year's Day, and they do it for the Ferrari Club of America Southwest region here, and that's going to be cool. Michelle?
Well, Jim Bindman, the COB, Chairman of the Board of the Concorso, told us that it's in its 13th year and that they're going to have 100 Ferraris there from the 1950s through 2025, and that they're benefiting this year. The Boys and Girls Club of Pasadena, the Shriners, and the Cancer Support of San Gabriel Valley, and the Magnum PI, the actual 308, will be there.
Excellent. Now, Carl, I understand among all the cars that you've driven, you actually drove a 308. Isn't there a story that goes with this that we can relate to the Concorso Ferrari May 4th on Colorado Boulevard in Old Town Pasadena?
Well, I always was a big fan. I'm kind of required to be, given my age and date of birth, of the Magnum PI show. And when I was working at Edmunds, we had a long-term 308. We did some crazy purchases where it was like, what would happen if we got a long-term one of these instead of just the new cars that, you know, all the other books always get? You know how that works, Mark. So we decided to be creative and get weird cars. I think we had a Buick Grand National for a while and all. But one of the cars we got was a 308 Ferrari. And I happened to be at an owner's rally for the Ford GT. I had my 05 Ford GT 2005. And it was in Newport Beach, just down the coast a little from the Peterson Museum in Edmonds, located in Santa Monica. And I started getting this banging out of the car when I was going over bumps. It turned out it was the driver's side rear shock. There was a story behind it. It wasn't even the car's fault. But I couldn't drive the car any longer. And I thought about it. Was like, well, I can't use my car anymore. And I'm on this exotic car rally for four GTs. Wait, I know of another exotic car I have access to. And I swapped the GT for the 308 and finished the Ford GT owner's rally in a 308. You can imagine some of the reactions I was getting from my fellow Ford GT drivers when I left one morning and came back a few hours later in a different kind of two-seat sports car. And I was like, what are you doing? You know? And I was like, sorry, it's this or nothing. So, and of course, they were happy to welcome me with open arms and only remind me a couple times about who won the Le Mans race back in the 60s. So it was fun.
66 through 69 was the Ford GT, well, GT40 or, you know, Mark IV or whatever. Yes, and Carl owned a 2005, among many other fantastic cars that he has owned over his fantastic lifetime.
Well, thank you for sharing that story, Carl.
Yeah.
I'm a big Ferrari fan, and I'm tempted to go to this event tomorrow because it sounds like a blast, and it's free. So how do you beat that?
Exactly.
You can't get it at all.
Isn't it interesting how they do the judging? That it's based on whether the vehicle in the show is actually original and how true it was to being in perfect showroom condition. And so they start off at 100, all the cars, and then you get demerits if they find that, you know, your seats aren't original or you changed off the, the wipers? Do they even have wipers on these things?
Oh, yeah, they do.
Okay, you lost 2 points because you do not have original wipers.
I wonder if you could, like, prove you still have the original gas in the car, if that would just, like, put you over the top. But ooh, I don't...
That would be like pancake syrup by then.
Yes. It'd be worth, but you'd win, Mark. It'd be worth it.
Like, I mean, bunker fuel.
Right. Interesting. Why don't you try it? Get one of those Ferraris out there and tell them that.
So I'm sure they would love to hear that. Yeah, what they do is they take off points for everything that they can find. And if you lose a 10 or fewer points, you get a platinum award. And then I think they go, you know, 20 is silver, 30 is bronze, and 40 is, you know, take it into the shop and get some stuff fixed.
Yeah, eventually it's down to paper mache and all. But it's you want the gold or the platinum
mache.
Yeah, we want good weather tomorrow for the Ferraris out there on Colorado Boulevard.
Yep, May 4th, tomorrow, Concorso Ferrari in Old Pasadena on Colorado Boulevard. It's down at the western end of Colorado Boulevard there. Right where the Rose Parade makes that right-hand turn, you will see 100 Ferraris there. I've been to, I think, every single one of those, and it's always a good time. It's always fun. You never know what you're going to see there. 1 year, Bruce Meyer brought his Le Mans winning Ferrari Testarossa. I think it was a 57. Other years, one guy brought a Ferrari F1 car. I don't think there's going to be an F1 car there this year, but that same guy is bringing four cars, and I don't know which ones they are. They have Ferraris from the 50s, a lot of modern ones that you'll just enjoy strolling around there. There's lots of interesting people. Maybe you'll meet one of us from the car show down there. So please go down and check out the Concorso Ferrari in Old Pasadena on Colorado Boulevard. It is free. And another free one. Oh, it's not free. One that is not free, but also in the area, out in the valley, there's a museum out there called the Valley Relics Museum. And it sounds like a really cool place, full of neon and old signs and like old posters and things that just sort of brings out the history of our San Fernando Valley. That song's going to be in your head now. San Fernando. It's a good thing I don't sing. And that Valley Relics Museum is going to be the site of the reunion car and motorcycle show tomorrow, May 4th, Sunday, May 4th, from 10 to 4. The Valley Relics Museum is on Stagg Street in Los Angeles, just off Balboa Boulevard. I think you have to pay to get into the museum. I couldn't figure out, going through their website, how much you have to pay, but you know, it's got to be less than $20, I think. And it's worth it to go into that museum and see what they have in there, and there'll be a nice car show outside of it. So that's in Lake Balboa in California, the Valley Relics Museum. It's a wonderful car show there all day tomorrow. There are a bunch of things going on tomorrow. There is the Classic Chevys of Southern California 42nd Annual Charity Car Show. It's taking place tomorrow, Sunday, May 4th, like all these other things, from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and that is at and benefiting the Rancho San Antonio Boys Home, 21000 Plummer Street, P-L-U-M-M-E-R, in Chatsworth, California. All proceeds benefits Rancho San Antonio, which is a home for, we used to say in the 30s, we said wayward boys, and now it's just helping keep kids on the straight and narrow. A good cause, and you'll get to see some classic Chevys. There's something going on down south, Michelle. What is that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you are down in the San Diego area, or maybe you just need to take a road trip, you need to go down to Coronado. And tomorrow morning from 10 to 3, they're hosting Motor Cars on Main Street. So when you go over the bridge, just keep going. You'll run right into it. And this is a great, great car show. And there's always a lot of really cool older antique cars, hot rods, customs, just good old classics like your Chevy Bel Airs and old Packards and things like that. They'll have definitely some pickup trucks and lots of lowriders. There's a great lowrider community in San Diego, and they turn out for this show. So go down there to Coronado if you're around from 10 to 3, and make sure you hit up some of those great places to eat right there on Orange Avenue.
It's a beautiful town, Coronado. It's worth going, even if there isn't a car show. But now you have an excuse, because Motor Cars on Main Street will be there. Just go over the, what is that, San Diego Bay Bridge? Coronado Bridge, yes. Into Coronado and find a place to park somewhere and check them all out. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
If you need an excuse for a road trip, I know my good friend Carl Brower is also a motorcyclist. Among his many talents, Carl, can you juggle too?
Only multiple work assignments, nothing else.
I've been trying to talk Carl into this. If you like motorcycles, the greatest motorcycle gathering, I think probably in the world, happens every May up in Carmel. It used to be called the Quail, a Motorcycle Gathering, kind of the way the Quail, a Motorsports Gathering, takes place in August. This is just for motorcycles, and it's taking place Saturday, May 17th. It's called Quail Moto Fest. The finest two-wheeled machines take over the Quail's pristine greens at Moto Fest to celebrate speed, style, and craftsmanship. And there's a fantastic collection of motorcycles up there. 300 of them all together. I guarantee you there will be at least 295 that you have never seen before. There are old bikes, new bikes. It's really neat. It's the 15th annual Quail Moto Fest. I have not been to all 15, but I've probably been to it maybe 5 or 10 times. I can't remember. It's worth the ride up there. I'm going to be riding up myself on an Indian Super Chief, which is the biggest, heaviest motorcycle I could think of to ride, because when you're going a long distance, that's what you want. It's got a nice big windshield. I would be cruising in comfort. So if you care to join me, that is the Quail Moto Fest on Saturday, May 17th at the Quail in Carmel Valley, California. So it's about, depending on how many times you stop, it's about a 6-hour ride up there. Just get at motels are cheap. Hotels are cheap up there. They don't jack up the prices like they do for Car Week up in Carmel and Monterey. No, motorcycles are the way collecting classic cars used to be in the 50s. So imagine going to the Pebble Beach Concours back when Phil Hill won in 1955. It's about like that, but the bikes are really cool. There's even a dedicated beer garden up there. So what would a biker group be without beer? They're celebrating.
Yes, yeah, they gotta have it.
They've got among the things that they're celebrating will be Bimota, B-I-M-O-T-A, however you want to say that, an Italian motorcycle that maker that was founded in 1973. But they're most famous for putting the forks horizontally out to locate the front wheel instead of the way most motorcycles go straight down. So Bimota will be there. There'll be a tribute to Yoshimura. I happen to have a Yoshimura exhaust on the Suzuki SV650 that is not starting right now, but Yoshimura will be celebrated there. He was a Japanese maker of speed and motorcycle parts. And in the post-war Japan, there were a lot of American service members there, and he was able to speak English. So his shop became kind of a hangout for all these motorcycle guys. It was kind of cool. Yoshimura will be celebrated.
I was just going to say, he was doing import tuning long before Super Street and the Fast and Furious ever happened. That was like early Super Street tuning, decades ahead of time.
It was an import for him because he was in Japan. So
right.
You would export his parts over here. And also celebrating 45 years of the BMW GS Adventure bike, which is an amazing bike if you've ever ridden it. You can go around the world on that, and people have. So to purchase tickets, go to axs.com/festivals. You can just go to the, you can contact them at the quail@quaillodge.com and check it out. And now we're coming back to Southern California for our next event. What do we have,
right,
Michelle?
And we're not stopping. So hang on there. Carol Shelby, tribute time at the Segerstrom Shelby Event Center in Irvine. This is on Saturday, May 17th from 9 to 1. And this is an event that they're doing to have everybody bring their Shelbys. And they have some special guests. If I can scroll down and find them, that would be really...
They're going to have Gary Patterson, Aaron Shelby, the grandson of Carol, and Tracy Smith, the nicest auto executive in the world who has been at Shelby American for a long time. Gary Patterson was one of the development drivers out there. He somehow managed to survive all the tumultuous times in the 90s and before at Shelby. Well, I don't know. Shelby American is one of many companies that have the Shelby name on it. Those three will be there. So, ask them some stories.
Yeah. So there will be people there from Shelby American and Team Shelby Pacific Coast Region. And they're celebrating 60 years of Shelby history. If you'd like to show your Shelby, you can register. It'll cost you $60. Spectators for free. And you do get to go in and see the museum or all the relics inside of the Segerstrom Shelby Event Center. Sounds like it's just an event center, but there's a ton of stuff to see inside.
One of you two was there at the opening, weren't you? At the Segerstrom. Yeah, that's it. Okay. Yeah, Michelle and I were both there when they opened that thing up. More neon. This is like neon week here at the car show. Lots of cool neon signs. They have Shelby Mustangs cobras, all kinds of cool stuff. It was nice hanging out with Michelle there, however many years ago that was.
Three or four, I think.
At least.
This event will benefit California Fire Foundation for our wildfire victims in the area. If you'd like to register to show your car, you have to email DaveGT500. And his email is DaveGT500@iCloud.com.
Very good. And we'll just do one more quick plug for the Benedict Castle Concours, May 18th, Riverside, California. Co-Grand Marshals Barry and Karen McGuire, known as the Car Guys Car Show. We'll talk more about that next week. That's May 18th. So you got a couple weeks on that. What you don't have a couple weeks on is KPFK's spring fundraising drive. We need you to support us. You get so many cool stations, cool shows here at this radio station that you won't get anywhere else. You get perspective, points of view. All of us here, as far as I know, all of us are doing this just because we like it. Everybody at KPFK is doing it for free. So you're not, your donation will not go to pay for some fat cat station chief or, you know, radio DJ host. No, all of us are working for free here, and we appreciate your donations to help keep KPFK on the air. Please, during this hour, if you would not mind, we would greatly appreciate it if you could go to kpfk.org or call the donation line at 818-985-5735. And Michelle, what's the number if you want to donate a car to KPFK? Mm-hmm.
Right. If you'd like to arrange a car to be picked up and donated to KPFK, just call this number, 877-573-5288. No cost for towing. They'll come and get it right from your house.
And Michelle, you could donate your Miata or your RX-8.
Nope.
Carl, She likes KPFK, but not that much.
I'll give them cash, but they're not getting my cars.
Give cold, hard cash. All right. Speaking of cold, hard cash, Carl, Cash King Brower, his job, his full-time job, as near as I can tell, is executive analyst at iccars.com. Fascinating place. Those guys mine the data on car sales in the United States and around the world, and they come up with amazing things. And Carl has some good stats for us on the car industry. Carl, take it away.
Yeah, it's never boring. And I keep telling people, man, I don't think the car industry can get any more interesting. And the industry keeps proving me wrong. But anyways, right now we've got used car prices that went crazy during the first, you know, couple years after COVID, finally settled down the last few years. And then for the first time since October of 22, they went up in March this past month. So this is indicating that, you know, there's more demand than supply, and we're potentially going to see used car prices going up a little bit. Very commonly, this is because new car prices are rising. Or the other thing that's causing this is a lack of people letting their lease cars go. People are buying their leases out because they get the end of the 3-year lease. They look at the buyout price. They look at what it would cost to lease another car or to buy a similar car. And they're like, this is a great deal for me. And they buy their car, and it doesn't go into the used car pool. And there's not enough used cars for people. Mm-hmm. Fascinating is that while the average used car is going up, there's a good collection of cars that have fallen drastically over the past year in their value, individual vehicles. And we did a list. We said, well, where are the deals in a world like this? And what we did was we looked at the 20 used cars with the biggest price drops over the past year. And we're talking substantial numbers here, right? Like 17.2% is the top dropping car. It's lost 17.2% in 1 year. And then even number 20 has lost 6.8%. And what is number one? Tesla Model S. And for people who are wondering what's going on with Tesla, or maybe have a sense of what's going on with Tesla, I can tell you the data story, which is the Model S is number one in the 20 cars with the biggest drop. Number five is the Model Y. Number eight is the Model 3. So three Teslas in the top 10. And then the Model X is number 17. So four Teslas in the top 20. The only one that's not in there is the Cybertruck. And that's because we can't count it yet. That car has to be on the market for 4 years before we can start including it in this study, because when you're doing data science, you got to make kind of level the playing field. So you got to have all the cars have a certain age before you look at them. So I just feel like that's very telling. By the way, number two is the Porsche Taycan. Number 10 is the Kona Electric. Number 11 is the Kia Niro. There's like 7 or 8 electric cars on this list out of the 20. Almost half of the list is electric cars. And it's just showing that the used market is not very friendly for electric cars. And I think it's because we've hit a saturation point. There are just so many electric vehicles out there, new and used. And the demand is not keeping up with the supply, as in there's more of them than people need or want.
Can you list some prices for some of those cars that have dropped? I would love to get a Taycan, but suspecting I don't have
Right. Mark and I both love Taycans.
Well, you know, they're on sale from a year ago in the used market, down 15.1%. That means you guys only need to come up with $75,470. $7.
Okay. So. Forget I asked. How about a Model 3? A Tesla Model 3, that's got to be affordable, right?
So that was down 10.9%, but you can snap it up now for $26,084. So just over 26 grand will get you a Tesla Model 3. And the Kona Electric, you know, these weren't that expensive new, but the Kona Electric's down 10.6 and the Kia Niro EV's down 9.6. And the Kona will cost you $20,678. And the Kia Niro EV will cost you $21,549. So right around $20,000 to $21,000, you can get a 1 to 5 year old. That's the age range that we're talking here for used cars. 1 to 5 year old Kona Electric or Kia Niro.
And those that's reasonable.
And those will come with that extended warranty. Kias and Hyundais have those long warranties.
And they're transferable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah. That's a bargain right there.
Yeah, that's the whole point of this list was like, okay, in a world where we're starting to see prices creep back upward again on used cars, how can you find a decent deal? And just so you know, I think the least expensive car, it was that Kona Electric at 20 and then the Kia Niro, but like the Mercedes-Benz GLB, which, you know, is like their RAV4 or CRV, but it's got a Mercedes-Benz badge on it. That one's down 9.4%. You can pick one up for $32,953. A lot of people love to have a nice Mercedes-Benz GLD for $33,000.
Can people go to iccars.com and see all this fascinating data?
They absolutely can. If they go there, or you can even just do a search. If you do like 20 used car largest price drops, I'm sure that our page is optimized. It would pop right up for you. But if you can go to the website and go to the studies tab up on the top, they call it back the global nav. But you go to this studies tab up there and then go to the homepage and it's right there.
An excellent resource, iccars.com. And I'm not just saying that because Carl Brower has graciously come on our show. Well, okay, I mostly am. But, you know, speaking of affordable electric cars, Carl and I both have some thoughts on a very interesting affordable electric car. Carl, why don't you tell us which one I'm talking about?
Yes. So we have a new electric vehicle company launching right in the midst of what I was just describing as what feels and looks like a saturation point for electric cars. But anyways, there's a new company and they did a launch in Long Beach out here, kind of between where I live and where Mark lives, not far from either of us. And it's called Slate. And it is supposed to be a sub $20,000 electric car. At least that's the top line tagline. We have some issues with that, or I have some issues with that. But Mark, why don't you jump in and tell me your experience? You were there live. I watched from afar.
There. I sat in the car. I did a lot. Now there was speculation on the internet before this came out when the name Slate sort of leaked. People were saying Slate is just Tesla spelled inside out. I don't know what I thought of that. But it is a good conspiracy theory. It turns out it has nothing to do with Elon Musk. It has to do with the other bazillionaire. Jeff Bezos is a major backer of Slate. And the idea is they can make, it's a truck, okay? It's a little pickup truck. It's a two-door, very abbreviated, very short electric truck. And it has composite body panels that are unpainted, so they don't have to have a paint shop. They save a lot of money. It doesn't have, you know, the touch screen on the inside on the dash there that every other car and truck has now. Instead, it just has a spot where you plug in your phone because everybody uses their phone anyway. So you plug it in, you use Apple CarPlay or whatever you want. You get all your music there, get everything else. So it's got some very interesting innovations. Now, they say that it's going to sell for under $20,000. That, of course, is there's a couple of things, and Carl will be back on shellacking me for my thoughts on this. Under $20,000 if that $7,500 federal tax credit is still around. Here in California, we get an additional $2,500, so that's 10 grand off. So it could be significantly under $20,000. But the thing is, that is for the bare bones truck. You can also take this truck and screw in yourself, they say. You can screw in a roll bar and you can screw in a shell over the back and convert it into an SUV. Now, they didn't give any prices for that, so we don't know what those will cost. We don't know. You can buy a wrap if you want the thing painted. It comes out as just this dull gray, not a very attractive color. But if you want it to have some kind of color, you can do all kinds of wraps. They pre-cut the wrap for you. You can put it on yourself, or they'll do it. You can have your local wrapper put it on. I don't know. I sat in the thing. Yeah, I sat in the driver's seat. I adjusted the steering wheel. I felt comfortable. I reclined the seat as much as I wanted. I'm 6 feet tall, and I fit in there with no problem at all. I am optimistic that this thing will work. For an opposing viewpoint, we go to Carl Brower. Carl.
Counterpoint.
Oh, my gosh. Where do I begin? No. So there's really two major problems in my mind with this concept. One, as Mark noted, it's based on the $7,500 federal credit, or it's not really a sub $20,000 electric car. It's more like a $27,500 car. And the rumblings are that federal incentive, tax incentive on EVs could vanish as early as like Monday in 48 to 72 hours after you're hearing this show. I literally heard that a couple hours before, a couple hours earlier. So if that happens, then you're going to automatically lose, you know, a huge percentage of the car's supposedly savings. It's going to go up a lot, you know. And that's a car, don't forget, with two seats and 140-mile range and no screen, you know, bring your own screen for your touchscreen control. And I don't feel like at 27.5 or even at 20 with the incentive, that's that good a deal. And I joke that it's, you know, how many of these base $20,000 slates will ever get built? Of course, none will get built. They have one in existence, and it'll always be owned by Slate.
Ye of little faith.
Yeah, I mean, the average person is going to want, you know, probably more range than 140 miles. I don't know how many people think 140 miles is an acceptable range on an EV. It's not competitive with today's world. Most people probably have more than one passenger that they're going to have to take somewhere on a regular basis. So they've got to get the rear seat. Most people may want the closed thing and the closed back end, then they're going to need the SUV thing. I feel like once you start putting the things into this slate that makes it functional to more than, you know, 2%, 1% of the population, even with the incentive, it's mid-20s, and without it, it's 30+. And don't forget, as expensive as new cars are, 25 to 30 grand will get you a Ford Maverick with 200 to 300 mile range and a gas engine that you fill up in 10 minutes. It'll get you a Chevy Trax, which has a four full door size doors. So you can get the back seat that automatically comes with the vehicle, and it's an SUV. I just don't feel like the concept's that good. But one other thing I'd want to say is Jeff has a history, Mr. Bezos, of running things that don't actually make money. Washington Post, Blue Ocean, or whatever that thing's called. So when you're a billionaire,
Blue Ocean.
You can, yeah. What's that thing called?
The Blue Rocket thing.
The Blue Rocket thing?
Katy Perry rocket thing. Yes,
yeah,
we get that for you.
So, you know, he doesn't need to make money. And if he doesn't want to make money on a car company, great. But is it a good idea for the average person to buy? Well, based on the resale value I saw for a lot of other electric cars in this latest list we did at IC Cars, maybe not. But if you buy it for 25, maybe you don't care.
Yeah, it's the resale value of the cars that you listed is probably below the average transaction price of these slates that may or may not come out. They just announced that the thing is going to be built in an old R.R. Donnelly print shop in Indiana or Ohio or something. So I don't know how far along that is, but they just announced it. So that's, you know, good luck to them. That might have been where Auto Week was published all these years before it went to AutoWeek.com. Who knows? R.R. Donnelly, big publisher, printer, I should say.
Yes. Was there any mention that you could buy this thing on Amazon when it becomes available?
That was a question that was asked several times of several people, and there was no answer for that. I got to think that because they're not going to go with a traditional dealer setup. It's going to be direct to customer sales, which is a whole nother can of enchiladas there to try and do that. I think it's 12, 13, 14 states that do not allow that, which I don't know my opinion on that. Are car dealers contributing to state politicians and then keeping those laws in the books? Maybe. We're big on conspiracy theories here, so I don't know. But yeah, I'm optimistic.
You are.
here's one more for you then, as long as we're talking about it. Jeff Bezos has a tad bit of pulls Bezos. In the business.
Yeah. Bezos.
Bezos. But
Bezos.
Look, I like Bozos, actually. But
yeah,
anyways,
that's it.
By the way, after this radio show, we're going to watch my Amazon account suddenly like lock up and not work anymore. But anyways, he's got some pull in the corporate world. What are the chances that, regardless of the consumer reaction, he finds his own company, realizes that this whole last mile delivery thing that a lot of people talk about, you know, maybe these things start delivering packages without any CO2, and maybe he gets a post office, a corporation, who knows? You could see these things, which, by the way, it's not like I'm not an EV fan. If you've got a car that goes on a consistent route every day and can come home to some kind of a home-based mothership at the end of every day and start again, why would you not use an electric car? I would love to see every mail truck, UPS truck, Amazon truck run on batteries, because that's a perfect use of EV tech. So
wasn't Amazon a customer of BrightDrop, the GM electric van company that's still around?
I think. Yeah. Yeah. And they were, they were going to do Rivian, of course, and all. And they've gotten, what was the other? There's another
canoe. They had all some of which lasted, some of which didn't. Well, speaking of electric cars, really quickly, the Shanghai Auto Show just finished up yesterday at the Shanghai Expo there in the big city of Shanghai. You guys ever been to Shanghai?
Mm-mm.
No.
I've been to Chengdu, China. I've never been to Shanghai. I want to go. I would love to go. But according to a story in AutoWeek.com, there were 1,000 exhibitors, 93 world debuts, and there were 271 electric cars on the stands there at the Shanghai Auto Show. It was a big deal. It seems to be all electric. There were a few legacy internal combustion engines there, but it seemed to be an all electric kind of thing. Now, it's different in China. The government says you are making electric cars and you guys are going to buy them. Everybody says, yeah, yes, sir, we'll do that. We here in America, of course, we have coal, rolling, dually, diesel freedom. And by golly, we are going to cling to it for good or for bad to our last gasping, choking breath. So we don't have that kind of, I don't know what you would call it, government that they do in China, where the government says to do something and you do it. And right now they're saying do electric cars. And that's why the Shanghai Auto Show had 271 electric cars, whereas the New York Auto Show, I was there and I'm trying to remember where there. Yes, there were a couple of plug-in hybrid electric vehicles from Hyundai introduced them. And of course, Subaru showed its new version of its Solterra at the New York Auto Show. But it was a handful of electric cars compared to 271 in Shanghai. So is Shanghai ahead of the curve on this? Are they doing the futuristic business plan, or, what's going to happen? Carl, tell us what's wrong with that.
Well, they're going to do whatever the government tells them to do, as you noted, Mark. So it's a much sloppier and less convenient system over here with this damn democracy. It screws it all up. You know, everyone wants to like have their rights and have choice. Ugh, it's annoying. But anyways, so that's an advantage, quote, big air quotes around that word, that China has over us when it comes to EVs. The government and the automakers can work hand in hand, or maybe handcuff in handcuff to make sure that they're getting these things produced for as cheaply as possible. And some would say it's almost like a global, like, monopoly type thing, antitrust thing, right? Like in America, if you have the resources to produce something so cheaply that you can put everyone else out of business, and you do that, even though you're not making money either, but you can do it for a few years because you've got enough resources, wait for the rest of the competition to die, and then crank those prices up because you're the only game in town. Some could argue, not me, but some could argue that's kind of on a global level what China's doing with electric cars right now. They're not really making money on these things, but they've got the resources to put everyone else out of business. And then when they're out of business, it's a Chinese car or no car for you.
No, that's no soup for you, no car for you. Okay, right. Well, we'll see what happens there. Carl and I both saw Zeekr, the Chinese electric car maker at CES. We were both impressed by the offerings there. I don't know if they could stick to the prices they were saying, but that was just one example out of, like we said, 270-something. Let's go back here to L.A. Michelle, you have 30 seconds to update us on the L.A. bus zone.
Whoa, yes. So I had mentioned in an earlier broadcast that at the beginning of the year that the L.A. Metro bus system was going to start issuing tickets to drivers who parked in front of the buses, so that the buses can't get in and pick people up and drop them off. And they gave like a 1 month of abeyance on that. And February, they started writing the tickets. And the stats have come out where the city coffers are getting filled up by the tune of $1.6 million because they've been issuing so many tickets for people who are parking against the law. Over 5,500 citations were issued just on Wilshire Boulevard and La Brea in 1 month. So don't do it. It will cost you $283 if you get one of those tickets. And it will go to you as the owner of the car based on the cameras on the buses that will take the picture of your car and the license plate. It'll go to a closing center where they'll decide whether the photo is good. And then that's it. You'll get a citation in the mail.
Well, okay. We are saving you money. See, we are saving you money here at KPFK. And we ask that you take some of that money that you just saved by not parking illegally on Wilshire and send it to us here to keep KPFK on the air. Our needs are simple here. If you have $1 million, send it to us in a check. If you have $10, send it to us. Every little bit and every big bit helps. All you have to do is go to kpfk.org or call the donation line at 818-985-5735 and make a donation to keep us on the air. Carl and Michelle and I are still on the air, and we drove some interesting cars just recently, I believe. Let's start out with Michelle's. Michelle, what were you in?
Yeah, I had the 2024, not 2025, 2024 Honda Passport, two-row SUV. This is the Trail Sport Edition, and that's the top trim level of the Honda Passport. And this trim level was introduced by Honda in 2022. And it was supposed to be targeted to people who like to go off-road. But for 2024, they made it a little more off-road friendly. So they added some new things, like instead of the skid plates on the bottom being made out of plastic, they reinforced them and made them out of steel. They have folding and heated side mirrors so that you can get into those narrow spots if you need to. There's a tailgate spoiler, and there's roof railers for more luggage or things on top for your expeditions. And then also they have some special spec wheels that go with that trim package. And the exterior is really sporty looking, and it's got your Trail Sport badges on the front and the rear in orange. It's got your interior also has the badging. It's on the seats in embroidered, is that what it's called? Yeah, embroidered.
That would be it, embroidered
into the leather. So inside you get your orange whip stitch on the steering wheel and on your leather seats. And so that's really cool. And also it comes with these really cool, you know, rugged floor mats that are the rubber ones that, you know, you can jump right in with snow on your boots or mud and get home, and then you just rinse them off or shake them off and you're good to go.
I wonder if those are WeatherTech floor mats.
They were not. I checked.
No. Oh, that's too bad. But I'm sure they're good floor mats.
And no, they don't sponsor us, but that is
a good product. They don't. They sponsor about everything else in the world.
Yeah. I'm sure you can still drive it into Mazda Raceway, even with those floor mats in it. It's okay.
Mazda Raceway Laguna Seca.
Well,
it's got the WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca. Carl was making a joke.
Carl, that was a good one. Yes.
That was good. That was good.
Not anymore. Right.
But, you know, I was on this this launch program, it was in 2021 when they launched the whole notion of the trail sport trim level on their vehicles. And it's a smart idea because a lot of people, this overlanding thing is really taken off. People love it. And some people are going off-road. We here in Southern California have a wealth of off-road possibilities. We have the BLM land out there and so many trails in the Mojave National Preserve. Well, not so many in the preserve, but there's a lot of land, a lot of places you can go out
here. Joshua Tree.
Joshua Tree. And you can just tap into that. And that is what Honda has done with this trail sport trim level. And it's pretty smart because I think it starts off with, I believe, AT tires, which are all terrain, which are more puncture resistant. So if you got one of these and you didn't have those tires, the chances of you getting a flat tire out in the middle of nowhere kind of go up. So having the trail sport with the AT tires keeps you safer. And they showed a bunch of options that were available on this. I think at the time when I saw this, they had one of those pop-up rooftop tents that looked kind of cool. So
it's a cool idea. Did you know it has 8-inch clearance and it can tow 5,000 pounds, which is pretty good.
That's a lot.
Yeah, and it has a spare tire, just in case one of those awesome AT tires doesn't work for you. Did you know they're called general grabbers, which is someone who should be in the administration? And by the way, it's assembled in Lincoln, Alabama. How about that?
That's just fine.
That will help. And 21 mpg combined. So it's not fantastic on mileage. It's about what you'd expect for a midsize SUV.
It probably takes a hit in mileage because of the tires and, a few other
things.
Cargo
space, though. Wow. 100.8 cubic feet. How about that? So I liked it. It's a fun car. It gets a lot of attention. I got it in that really cool color, like the Subaru Crosstrek color. It's a grayish blue, right?
Did you have a price? Do you have some prices?
Yes, I do. Trail Sport base is $44,500. Trail Sport as tested, which had a couple more features on it, was $46,330. There is one trim level above that. The very top trim level is called Black Edition. Okay. And those come in at $47,970. Now, it's a bargain in the car market right now. And P.S., Honda just sent us a press release. Did you guys see this today?
No.
That their sales are through the roof right now. They had 18% jump in sales just for last month, April.
Good for them.
And that includes their cars, their trucks, their Hondas, and their Acuras across their whole product lineup. So I'm saying you should go get one now, because for 2026, the Trail Sport Passport will start at $49,900, and that's before any of that other stuff. Okay.
That's a good bargain. If you want to spend even more and go even farther off road, in the last couple of weeks, I drove a Range Rover Sport plug-in hybrid electric vehicle and a Land Rover Discovery 130. It was an English extravaganza, as I say here. Now,
A Brit.
And, you know, the first thing that impressed me about these cars that I was not expecting at all is people really react to them. I go out in a car and I want to remain completely anonymous. If they had an invisible car, that would be the one that I would like the most. But these cars got people just loved it. You get thumbs up from everyone, from the gardener to real estate executives. An actual quote from one guy who was coming out of a yoga class was, "Whoa." And that was for the Land Rover Discovery 130. The Range Rover Sport Authority, or I'm sorry, Range Rover Sport plug-in hybrid electric vehicle was the autobiography trim level. Now that's that gets up there in price. This is like a what, three times? Again, we're not good at math here on the car show. It's more expensive than the Honda Passport Trail
Just give
Sport.
Us the number.
The number as tested was $136,800. The base price for the model that I drove was $118,700. That's for the Range Rover Sport PHEV. So it's a lot of dinero for that thing. But it is really the two cars that I drove, they are the, I would say, the epitome of three-row luxury SUVs. They feel every bit the luxury conveyance they are made out to be, I would say. The most surprising thing for me, of course, was that reaction from people that, you know.
Are you sure that whoa didn't come after you told the guy the price? Are you sure? Okay.
Didn't tell him the price. He didn't even see me. I happened to hear him. And I want to point out it was not me coming out of the yoga class, okay? I happened to know a yoga instructor.
Okay,
so I was,
okay. We know you.
It's not me. Yeah, I have flexibility of a metal cage. I don't know. That terrible analogy.
Well,
Carl.
Yes, you should be going to yoga, Mark. Those are both really fabulous cars, though. You're right. I mean, modern Land Rovers. And, you know, for a long time, there was the whole like, yeah, but it's a Land Rover. You know, the little fearful on the quality and the reliability, but that has all been ironed out. I mean, I really wouldn't have any qualms with buying one of those in today's world, and you'd end up with this extremely luxurious, capable off-road vehicle that's also very reliable and makes people go, whoa. So that's cool.
Yeah, it makes people go, whoa. That sounds like an ad slogan. This one, the plug-in hybrid electric vehicle, the EPA rates it at 53 miles just on electricity alone. It's got a 32 kilowatt hour battery, which is really big for a plug-in hybrid. My Mitsubishi iMiEV, as I say all the time, has 16 kilowatt hours, and I don't know if it still has that many. A couple of them might have fallen out the back over the 104,000 miles that I've had that car. But the Range Rover Sport produces it's 542 horsepower, 590 pound-feet of torque. I mean, it's a really strong conveyance. It really gets going. It rides on air springs and adaptive dampers, so the ride is velvety smooth. It weighs, however, with that big battery, 6,191 pounds, and yet it still gets to 60 miles per hour in 4.8 seconds, which, you know, it's amazing what these huge electric SUVs can do. I'm thinking of the GMC Hummer EV pickup truck, which I drove up to Button Willow and back a couple of months ago. That thing, I think, is 3 seconds, 0 to 60. The Chevy Silverado EV is similarly quick. It's just amazing what these things can do. So,
I don't know. They weigh like 10,000 pounds. So, you're right.
Those do. Yeah, they're very close to 10,000 pounds, which is just crazy. Now, the Land Rover Discovery 130, there are actually, I think, four models of Land Rover Discovery. The 130 is the longer one. It's a three-row, and that only costs about $108,000. So, see, you can save money on this. And people like them just the same. So it was quite nice. It has the same 3-liter straight six, but it makes only 395 horsepower. 406 pound-feet of torque. That's in the Discovery 130. And like the Range Rover, it's all-wheel drive all the time. I have not had a chance to go off-road in either of these, but I'm looking forward to it because it's got Terrain Response 2, which doesn't sound like an ad slogan at all, with selectable driving and off-road modes.
Yes, you must. You know, I have to say, the Land Rover Range Rover is the official car of Newport Beach.
It is?
No, I'm just kidding.
If you drive around Newport, you think it was, yes.
I thought the Porsche 911 was, the 911 Cabriolet.
No.
SUVs, all about SUVs now, like most places.
Yes. Yeah,
do you draw attention in your Miata, Michelle, when you're down there, or your
RX-8?
Yes.
Not in the RX-8. No one can figure out what it is, first of all. They just go, what the hell is that? Yeah. The Miata, yes. People wave at me. I see them taking pictures of it. If I'm at the stop light and people are crossing the street in front of me, they always say, oh my God, I love your car. It's so cute.
There you go.
Universally, men, women, kids, 80-year-olds.
Everybody loves a Miata.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like a happy puppy of the car world.
It is. It's totally a golden retriever. Yes.
And speaking of happy puppies, we need a little bit of happiness here at KPFK. We need your support. Again, we only come to you a couple of times a year and ask for your support. And by goodness, if that's a term, we really need it now. Please, if you have an extra $10 lying around, or even if you don't, if you want to give more, we're happy to take more at kpfk.org. Or you can get on the phone and call 818-985. I'm scrolling up here to get those last four letters.
5735.
818-985-5735. If you call right now, the car show gets credit for the whatever you donate. If you do it later, we don't. It'll go to whoever's on the air at that time.
Right.
Not to, show your support.
No pressure. No pressure.
Not at all. We would also like to have your vehicles donated. KPFK will come and collect your vehicle that you no longer want, even if it's not running. And they have a dedicated line for vehicle donations. It's 877-573-5288. And you can always go to the website if you want to donate a vehicle or make a pledge. So go to kpfk.org when you have a moment. If you call during our show, the car show will get credit for your donation. So try to call soon.
Call soon. Go to kpfk.org, and you won't even have to talk to anybody, which is nice for a lot of people. But if you do want to talk, go to 818-985-5735. Is 5735 the same as KPFK on your rotary dial phone?
You know what? I think it is.
We used to say that all the time in previous pledge drives, but let's just stick with the numbers because we know they work. 818-985-5735. We really need your help. Did I tell you 110,000 watts beaming high atop Mount Wilson? Beep, 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 beep. It's going, and it's going strong across Southern California from Santa Barbara to Bakersfield to San Diego. It even covers Orange County, ladies and gentlemen, and we can't do it without your support. So please go to kpfk.org or call up 818-985-5735. That works on a push phone, on a cell phone, on a rotary dial, or that thing that they used to use on Green Acres when they one part of the phone went in your ear, you know, when they were calling Hooterville. Stick around.
Wow.
We got Jim Dawson and Ray Regalado. Sorry, Ray. On Rhapsody in Black. Great music you didn't
love
you loved, and you'll just love it. And stick around and come back next week, and we will see you here on The Car Show.
Hi, I'm Andrea Martin. You might forget me from the 80s. KPFK is listener-supported public radio in Los Angeles that refuses to take money from corporations. They didn't refuse, however, to take money from me, and all I have left to show for it is a biodegradable tote bag to store all my other biodegradable tote bags in, and a bumper sticker, which they happily said was mine to enjoy. If only I hadn't donated my car to KPFK, I would have a bumper to stick it on. So please join me in showing your support by calling 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-KAPUFKA or online kpfk.org. I'm Andrea Martin, and trust me, all the money you give goes directly toward keeping the lights on, and in my estimation, should be dimmer because these carpets haven't been cleaned since the 80s, which you might forget me from.
Support comes from the Will Geer Theatricum Botanicum in Topanga, presenting a new musical play by Peter Alsop, Ebenezer's Maker.